Indeed, you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101 FM and freakradio.org. On the line with me right now is Gerald Smith here from Berkeley Liberation Radio 104.1 FM in Berkeley, California. Gerald, you there?
Yep, you know I'm here.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going all right. Actually, we got a little trouble and we got to share some information with our brothers and sisters in the micro radio transmitter movement. We got a little notice from the FCC. Looks like they're not happy that we still exist.
Is that right? When did that happen? You guys got visited again, huh?
Yeah, we got visited on February the 21st of 2006. That's this year. So it's not, a few weeks ago.
And what happened? Did they get into the studio?
They did not. In fact, let me just be really formal in this regard. The document says Federal Communications Commission Enforcement Bureau, Western Region, San Francisco office. They came to the house, and they basically tacked this on the door. Okay? And it says that a notice of unlicensed radio operation. And they say on the day that I just told you that the agents of the Federal Communications Commission noted the following conditions regarding the radio station located at, and they have the address, and they say your refusal to allow an inspection of your radio equipment in violation of Section 303, of the Communications Act of 1934, as amended. So that's one thing, offense. They didn't get to see our wonderful station. Then they say radio stations must be licensed, and you're not. So basically that's it.
Same old argument.
Same old argument.
How long has Berkeley Liberation been going on the air?
Well, Berkeley Liberation Radio came on the air in 1998. Now, here's the question. How long have we been uninterrupted? We've never been uninterrupted. We've been shut down. Berkeley Liberation Radio has been shut down twice since 1998. Okay? Twice. And we've managed to reopen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Twice. And this is the third time they're attempting now to shut us down. But we're a little squirrely.
What do you mean by squirrely?
Well, we don't want to give up. You know, we got some pretty tough cookies as part of our team, our collective, and we've dealt with this FCC crowd before, these thugs. We've dealt with them on the thug level when they came deep with their automatic weapons, et cetera, et cetera. We've dealt with them in court, some of us in early on when people should know that Berkeley Liberation Radio really represents the continuation of Free Radio Berkeley. It was the cadres that formed Berkeley Liberation Radio came out of Free Radio Berkeley.
It also was born out of the KPFA struggle, right? The coup that
happened. I would say this. I would say it's yes, you're not wrong, but let me be a little more precise, if I may. When we started Berkeley Liberation, Free Radio Berkeley. And we started, we had our little thing going, and and what was different about Free Radio Berkeley that was very positive is I was successful for once in convincing people that we did not want an underground secret pirate radio. We wanted to fight for our right to have a damn station. And so we were very public about it. We handed out leaflets about it with our schedules. We went to the different communities and solicited people to join us, you know, to actually try to have programs on the air with us. We had public meetings of, man, it might have been 100 people at some of our public meetings where we planned what we were going to do. We had functioning committees. We had people, I mean, it was a very real community radio station, Free Radio Berkeley was.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time that we were building up this community station, successfully, I might add, two very important things happened. First, there was a purge at KPFA, where they started to purge all of the significant volunteers, like Bill Mandel. And many, many others, Kilu and all of these people, they purged them. When they purged these people, right, they had nowhere to go. So they came over. We accepted them with open arms at Free Radio Berkeley. Hmm. Now, when that happened, we really took off because we had people that had years and years of experience and technical knowledge. And so there was a merger, if you will. And that merger came together quite well. But at the same time, now it gets a little complex, but stay with me, folks. What happened was when we went to court, we had the National Lawyers Guild gave us representation in court, and they drew up a beautiful brief. Anybody that's seriously into micro radio transmission and questions of licenses, should see the brief that was written up in our defense, which basically said that the right for micro broadcasting is a free speech right. And it was very eloquent and well put together. So we went to federal court with that against the FCC. And after making his argument, our lawyer making his argument, the judge turned to the FCC and said, the FCC's lawyer, and said, okay, well, what say ye? What do you have to say about this? The FCC lawyer, being a bureaucratic, mindless idiot, stepped right in it and said, well, I don't have anything to say because I am the law. So the fuck you guys. You just do what I say to do, and that's it. Well, the judge didn't like that. And the judge said, okay, well, as long as you have that attitude, I am not going to issue a warrant against these people. So we had 2 years of unrestrained growth.
Yeah.
And activity because of the stupidity of the enemy.
We got in on that as well.
That's right. So that was 2 years we were able. And, I mean, you know, actually they stepped in it. They were stupid and obstinate, and it worked out for us. But then we were not, what we didn't do, we didn't come up with an answer. And the answer should have been, we want a license. And we didn't do that because of, I think, political unclarity, because when we went back to court after 2 years, they had done enough work to figure out that we had a difference of opinion within our own ranks over whether or not we wanted a license. We still have very politically immature people who run around and say, we don't want no license. Well, wait a minute. No, I don't particularly want a license, but I certainly don't want the Odd Squad and the Mod Squad and the armed thugs of the bourgeois coming of the state
US
trampling
Marshals.
Into my studio. So if the only thing that can prevent them from doing that is a license, yeah, okay, I'll fill out some paperwork. What the hell, you know? So we didn't have that position though. So the judge said, "Did you apply for a license?" And we had to answer, "No, we had not." And at that point, they issued the warrant for the FCC.
That was Free Radio Berkeley, right?
That is correct.
And then,
so now, at that point, Free Radio Berkeley, I don't want to go through all of the mechanisms, we got shut down. And some of us decided, well, that's okay, we're going to go on. So we went on and we formed Berkeley Liberation Radio, and we did. And we got a place, and we just did it was a step down in terms of the studio wasn't as, you know, is well kept, and I mean, you got to understand, we had a beautiful Okay. It was a little bit too beautiful.
I had the pleasure of hosting a show one time there at Berkeley Liberation.
Do you remember Wonder Fancy?
Free Radio Berkeley. Yeah, there was this huge picture window of this beautiful garden, lots of room. It was a really nice studio.
Yeah.
Really nice.
But we went on and we formed Berkeley Liberation Radio, was formed basically by the cadres who did not want to surrender, did not want to give up. And we have been broadcasting since 1998. And we have been shut down twice, basically, by the FCC. This is the third threat. And right now, our people are a little squirrely. We're feeling like, you know what, the hell with them. We ain't going nowhere. The tactic of these people, to my knowledge, is to take your equipment. They like to come in and take your equipment by force of arms. We are not armed. We are not a guerrilla, armed guerrilla outfit or anything like that. I wouldn't say we're nonviolent, but we're certainly not armed. They are. So I don't see how we would be able to prevent them from taking the equipment if they came in with their thugs and their guns.
Well, it seems like a chicken shit way of doing stuff, like not wanting to face the Constitution, because if they actually came after a person, or whoever that's doing the radio, or
they
would lose totally. You'd have to take it to court and have a jury, and so now they just reduce it to this: we'll arrest the equipment kind of thing, because equipment doesn't have any rights, and we'll just take.
Well,
your
see, no, and here's the other thing: what they know is this: they know that equipment costs money, and they know that most of the people that are part of these small community collectives don't have a lot of money. So half the time when you come in and you take the equipment, that kills it. You see what I'm saying, Bob?
Yeah, I understand.
And that's the tragedy.
And
you know?
It's a whole fear tactic, too, because they come in with their automatic weapons all
geared
down.
Oh, man, Bob, you don't know how much a fear factor it is. When I the first time they came, I think it was December 11th, 2002, right after that 911 shit, they came in big. They came in deep with all of these fucking guys with their, the weapons and stuff, 15 of them.
U.S. Marshals.
They had U.S. Marshals. They had alcohol, tobacco, and firearms people.
Wow.
They had two Oakland cops, because Oakland, the city of Oakland had not endorsed us the way the city of Berkeley had. City of Berkeley actually passed resolutions in support of us. But by the time they moved on us, one, two, three, this is the fourth time. Oh, shit, I'm losing count. Skidmark, I'm getting old and I'm losing count.
I understand.
This is the fourth time they shut us down. Because they shut us down when we were in Berkeley, and that's when we moved to Oakland. Then they shut us down in Oakland. Then they shut us down again in Oakland. And now this is the fourth time. Damn. Well, time marches on, but you know what doesn't change? I'll tell you what doesn't change. Our will to continue broadcasting does not change. That's not negotiable. But just back to what you said about the fear factor, and it's so right. The state has that advantage. So when they shut us down the second time, and this time it was in Oakland, the Oakland location, and they came and they didn't beat Tony up. Music Man. They walked in on him and they pulled their weapons. They didn't beat him up. He refused to open the door. I think out of genuine fear. They took the door off the hinges. And whenever they have to do any work at all, now they're really mad. But they didn't arrest him. They intimidated him a little bit. But when people heard about this group of armed men, one half of our DJs quit the next week.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
One half. So, yes, people are afraid of violence and afraid of the violence of the state and afraid of thugs with automatic weapons smashing in windows and kicking down doors. Yes, people are afraid. There is fear. And I tell you what, it's not a totally illegitimate thing because they did do it. And in other situations around the country, they have been violent, actually, towards the broadcasters. Now, you know I'm telling the truth, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in one situation in Florida, I think of, they actually placed a gun to a man's head and held him on the ground.
Oh, they have criminal penalties now in Florida established for unlicensed radio.
What?
Yeah, they do. They do, definitely.
Oh, so, getting off. You got to talk to me more often because I don't know everything.
Again, we're talking to Gerald Smith of Berkeley Liberation Radio, 104.1 FM in the, is it in the Oakland or Berkeley area? I mean, is it?
Yeah, right now, we're, all right, what we say is our station is what we call the Red Belt. It's in the Red Belt, and the Red Belt in Oakland is northern Oakland on the border that touches Berkeley. You know?
Yeah.
If you ever come to the Bay Area, you find the southern part of Berkeley, which is largely a black community, touches the border of North Oakland. And that's the area where our station is in. It's not in the city of Berkeley proper. So, but we still, because of our historical legacy, we keep the name Berkeley Liberation Radio. Okay?
Can you tell us a little bit about the programming on the station?
Oh, well, I
your
mean,
show,
we've got,
for instance?
We've got, let's see, I'm sorry I don't have a program sheet in front of me right now, but I'll tell you a few things that I know about. We have programming, I think many of your listeners may know, that you cannot hear, and you will not hear, on the regular station. So, for instance, we have lots of reggae music. We have lots of, and some very good, we got some people like Brother James Jamal, very good with the jazz. I'm talking deep here. We're talking, this man has been playing music for 30 years.
Wow.
We've got a program called Slave Revolt that is listened to, and if you Google Tracy James and Gerald Smith and go up on Google and Google that, you'll find a website that has a lot of the programming that was created on that program, Slave Revolt Radio.
Actually, you can go to slaverevoltradio.blogspot.com is the actual address of the blog where you can download shows
okay.
there as well.
Okay. And now there's another program that I participate in that's called Radical Perspectives, which is a more structured, it's different from the Slave Revolt style. It's a different style of broadcasting, but it's still news that you can use. We, for instance, did in-depth work on Black History Month about the history of Black Americans, and we did a whole program just on the assassination of Malcolm X, for instance, in the month of February. And we've got some young folks that do some labor programming and all kinds of. I mean, I'm sorry, as I said, I don't have the sheet in front of me.
How about
but we
the...
do some pretty good programming, and much of it is public affairs, and much of it is very good.
How about the Making It Plain news service? Is that still going on?
Oh yeah, yes, that's yours truly. I do that for a lot of people, and actually, I need a little help. I need a little help in the sense that, and this is for young people that are listening out there, and who are interested in micro broadcasting. You have to hone your skills because there are a lot of people that want to use my the Making It Plain news service, but I have to be able, you know, we have to move beyond tapes. We have to move into the digital, on the digital highway.
Yeah.
And actually it would get around a little bit more, but yes, I still do that.
And do you guys have a website yet? I'm not sure.
Well, here's what's happening. The same gentleman...
contact and stuff.
That made the website for Slave Revolt is making a website for Radical Perspectives.
Wow.
So I don't have it yet, but it's about to happen. And that's what really needs to happen, though. I want to turn that website into a website for Berkeley Liberation Radio and just have the program stream for Radical Perspectives there, but I want to have a page for Berkeley Liberation Radio, so if people log into it, they can see all the programming that's available. I think that's important. We need a web page.
Is there any contact number? Because I know there's folks out there that are listening that are into making web pages, and, you know, maybe they might want to donate their time to help out.
I got a contact number for you, because we really need a Berkeley Liberation Radio, now more than ever, needs a web page. Because without a web page, it's like fighting with one hand tied behind your back. Then the thugs can mug you in the dark, and no one will ever know.
Right.
So we really do need to get this information out there on the indie media or any place we can get it out. Just the basic truth, what has happened, you know? Yes, so a contact number for that will be area code 510-655-5764. That's a good friend of mine. So please, if anybody out there knows of or wants to provide assistance for the people, because that's who this micro transmitter broadcasting movement is for. It's for the people. We don't get a dime. All what we get is these thugs chasing us around with their weapons and shutting down our stations. There's no material gain for us. We do this because we believe it's the right thing to do.
Is there an email address? I mean, I know that Captain Fred has one for his world
cruise. Yes, there is. Hold on just one second here. Oh, my goodness. So, let's keep talking here, because I'm not the fastest in the world here.
I could put Captain Fred's address. He puts it out on the world cruise. It's ampb@california.com. And he does the world cruise and also involved with you guys out there, long-termer. And
Captain Fred has indeed. Now, check this out. Here, we got a post office mailbox, actually.
Oh, okay. That'd be great.
We're moving on up. So we got a post office mailbox, the personal mailbox, 2000 at 2140 Shattuck Avenue. That is located in Berkeley, California, and the zip code is 947. Please get your pencils. Let me say that once again. Personal mailbox 2000-2140 Shattuck Avenue, Berkeley, California, 94704. If you want to help in any way, please drop us a little donation here, because they're probably going to wind up taking our equipment before this is all over. It looks like we're trying to resist, and well, we just need all the help we can get. Remember, they have, well, you see what the state has. You see what they do to people all over the world. And don't be fooled. They do that same stuff to the citizens here in this country if they get a chance to do that. Art, now we have a studio phone number, but that's when you're on air. I don't know if any of you guys would be able to hear us when we're on air, because we don't stream on the internet. But I'll share that number with you. It's area code 510-712-6093. Okay?
All right. We've been talking to Gerald Smith of Berkeley Liberation Radio 104.1 FM, who was visited by the FCC on February 21st, 2006. They could definitely use help, donations. They need a webpage very badly. You could contact 510-655-5764, ampb@california.com, or send donations, equipment they may be needing soon, P.O. Box 200, 21,
no, it's 2000,
or 2000,
2000, okay.
2140 Shattuck Avenue, Berkeley, California, 94704.
That's it.
All right. Well, thank you, Gerald, for taking the time to let us know what's been going on. And I'm going to post this on probably Radio Indie Media, and hopefully we can get the word out and get you guys digitized.
Yeah.
And more, you know, we all got to stick together in this movement.
We better, because they stick together against us. Thank you so much, Skid Mark.
All right. Take care, Gerald.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Tune to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. Gerald Smith from Berkeley Liberation Radio, visited by the FCC. Stay tuned, stand by. for more of Operation Ear Infection with your host, Skidmark Bob.